भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 58, Krishna marries five princesses. Text number 39. Sri Shuka Vacha, Tam Maha Bhagavan Hrista, Tam Maha Bhagavan Hrista, Kritasana parigraha, Kritasana parigraha, Mega gambiraya vacha, Mega gambiraya vacha, Smasmitam kurunandana, Sasmitam Guru Nandana Sri Shuka Vacha Tam Maha Bhagavan Hrista Kritasana Parigraham Mega Gambiraya Vacha Sasmitam Guru Nandana Shuka Vacha. Shukadeva Goswami said, Tam to him.
Said,
Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord,
Krishna,
please, Krita, having done, asana, of a seat, parigraha, the acceptance, mega, like a cloud, gambiraya, deep, vacha, in a voice, sa, with, smitam, a smile, it's not smell, smile. Guru, of the Kurus, Nandana, of beloved descendant. Translation. Sukadev Goswami said, O beloved descendant of Kuru, the Supreme Lord was pleased, and after accepting a comfortable seat, he smiled and addressed the king in a voice as deep as the rumbling of a cloud. I'll read one more. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Narendra Yashna Kavibir Vikahita Rajanya Bandho Nijadama Vatina Tatabiya Chetava Sauri Dechaya Kanyam Tadiyam Nahisuka Davayam. The Supreme Lord said, O ruler of men, learned authorities condemn begging for a person in the royal order who is executing his religious duties. Even so, desiring your friendship, I ask you for your daughter, though we offer no gift in exchange. Om magyana timrandasya gananjana slakaya shaksamlitam yena tasmai shri galave nama. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasapane Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namne. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivise Sasanyavadi Vasichari Shatharine. So just see how Krishna can be so easily pleased. Here King Naknajit, when Krishna came there, King Nanaji offered very nice prayers and received him very well. Offered him a seat and received him and was offering him nice prayers. And Krishna was pleased just by the sincere words of the king. And just see the difference. Previously, the two brothers, Vindhya and Anuvindhya, the kings of Avanti. They were friends of Duryodhana, who were the sworn enemies of the Pandavas. And because Krishna is associated with the Pandavas, these two brothers will not allow their sister to marry him. Even though their sister Mitravinda desired Krishna as their husband. And yet, Krishna took what was his. That's the interesting thing. It doesn't matter. If one may be a miser and do not acknowledge something that belongs to Krishna, you may try to keep it, but Krishna will just take it. And Krishna wants, he will just take. He always take what is his. There's all these miserly men. They will not offer anything to Krishna. They'll use everything for their own sense gratification. Especially sometimes you find these rich people, you approach them, they'll say, they'll put a sign, beware of dogs. Trespasser will be prosecuted. You have to go through so many security just to come to their door. And you come, they'll just send you away. They'll kick you away. That's why Prabodhananda Saraswati, Prabhupada was quoting him, says, when you approach someone who is rich or think himself aristocratic or learned, you approach him, oh my dear sir, you are so learned, you are such a great aristocrat, and you are such and such, and I beg you, just forget about this. and so surrender to Krishna. Sometimes it's easier for a simple person to surrender to Krishna. That's why in the prayer by Queen Kunti, she said that when one possesses this Aishwarya, opulences of good education, riches, wealth, beauty, and coming from aristocratic family, sometimes very difficult for such person to surrender to Krishna or take up Krishna consciousness. Because they become proud. They become very proud of such opulences. And they look down on others. And they will think, what do I need Krishna for? I come from an aristocratic family. People bow down to me. Why should I bow down to anyone? Especially in India, even in the provinces, sometimes you have this zamindar, the landlord. They are very, very powerful in that village, the land, because they own all the land. They live in a big manor or palace. And they are very proud of their opulences, because all the farmers are depending on them. All the whole village basically depends on them. So very difficult for them to bow down to someone else. And of course Sugadev Goswami, he said, if someone is wearing a crown and the crown becomes so heavy, he cannot bow down to Krishna, bow down to the Supreme Lord. That crown he's wearing on his head is like a heavy burden when he's drowning. When someone is drowning with this heavy helmet, crown on the head, you will drown faster. I remember many years back, we had a Sankirtan party. And we stopped by one time, we had a preaching center there. And we had our own Sunday feast. Just a few guests that we met on Sankirtan. And the father of one of the devotees came to that Sunday feast. And he saw the devotees. Every time they go in and out of the temple room, they would just bow down, offer obeisances. So after the lecture, this man he asked, he said, why you are bowing down all the time? Every time you come in, you just bow down. And the vice president who gave the lecture, he said, yes, because we cannot appreciate this, that the devotee is bowing down in submission to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because what we think is, why is bowing down to some picture? Or some statue. He should bow down to me. I'm the father. He never bowed down to me. And now he's bowing down to some statue or some pictures. What is this? So very often people, they cannot appreciate. Even sometimes, Indians, they come to the temple, they will not bow down. They will come in and just, but they will not bow down in submission. You see that very often. They come to the temple, whether it's ISKCON temple or just any temple they go to, they will just this offer little pranam, but they will not bow down their head to the Supreme Lord. So these two brothers, they cannot appreciate, because of the association with Duryodhana, they could not appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They instead they choose to be on the other side. Just because Krishna was associated with the Pandavas, they refused to allow their sister to be married to him. And yet Krishna just went and took her away. Despite their efforts to prevent the sister marrying Krishna, Krishna just took her away. So Krishna always takes what is his. And in fact, someone may be miserly, keeping all the possessions away from Krishna, but at the time of death, he's removed from it all. Neither one lose it, but at the time of death, it's just everything taken away. Things, all this can be taken away in so many forms. At the time of death, or by some natural calamities. Remember many years back, one time in Argentina, the government just decided from one day to the other to change the currency. And all the currency that people have in the bank just became valueless. Just useless. Or in recent time, Indonesia, when they have these riots against the government, suddenly the value of the rupiah just dropped drastically. I can't remember exactly the quote, how much they dropped, like more than 50% the value, and all this money became like basically valueless. So all this attachment people have to their so-called wealth is very insecure. There's no security. That's why Prahlad Maharaj said, the security in the material is compared to like Durashaya Yebahi Atamanina. You have Ashraya and Durashaya. Ashraya means taking shelter, but Durashaya means forced shelter. Taking forced shelter of the material world is like taking shelter. It's just, the shelter is only in the imagination of our mind. In our mind, we're imagining, oh, I'm sheltered. I have so much money in the bank. I have so much properties. I have so much wealth. I have so much plantations. I have so much land. I have my children. I have my wife. I have my so on and so forth. But this is all forced shelter. And at the stroke, just of the moment, it can be just taken away, everything. Even here, Australia, it's been drought for a long time. And then suddenly, last few days, heavy rain. One person died, and some families were dislodged from their homes. And they think, will never happen here. Or the bushfire just burned, and suddenly, whole area just devastated. It happens all the time. All the time. People go on holiday thinking, oh, I'm going to enjoy in South Thailand. And then tsunami came, wipe everything out. Who would imagine that? They didn't plan to go to that place to be swept away by the tsunami. They went there to enjoy sense gratification. They think winter break from Sweden or Denmark, a Scandinavian country, they came. Many of them, they own homes there, just get swept away. So they may not want to give to Krishna voluntarily, but they have to give it up involuntarily. You just take away. So sometimes you hear when Christian Indians, they are very afraid of surrendering to Vishnu. They think another name of Vishnu is Hari. Hari means take away. You surrender to Hari, he takes everything away. So better worship Ganesh, Shiva, because they give so much benediction. But they do not understand that Hari, what he takes away is he takes away all the inauspiciousness. Or he takes away all the things that is actually bogging us down, tying us to the material world. So that's the mercy. So Krishna takes away in different ways, in different, when he takes away from the materialist in the form of death, in the form of calamity, or so many different losses, I just take them away because of the karma. But sometimes he may also take away from devotees. Prabhupada was always stunned by this verse from the Bhagavatam and see how he relates to his life. That anytime he was preaching, he was always very successful. But somehow his businesses were failing. He was not very successful in his business. And when he read this verse from Bhagavatam, where Krishna said, how when one is sincere and yet still attached to material possessions, or still have some material attachment, Krishna showed such devotee his mercy by taking away everything and leaving him with nothing but his lotus feet. So it depends on the understanding and realization of the person, whether he considers mercy or not. Sometimes when taken away, the neophyte may think, why is this? Why is Krishna so cruel? I'm surrendering to Him. I'm doing so much service to Him. I'm trying to center my life around Him. Yet He takes away all my possessions. He takes away all that is very dear to me. Why is He doing that? But someone who is sincere or more advanced, he understands, well, Krishna is taking away because He wants me to surrender more to Him. He wants me to give up all this attachment. That we were saying last Sunday, the symptom of surrender. There's no other shelter than the shelter of Krishna. So whatever Krishna do, that is His mercy. They have firm faith that Krishna, whatever Krishna does is for the benefit of the devotee, because he is Bhakta Vasala. Devotees are very, very dear to him. So he do things for the benefit of his devotees. So we see here the difference with King Natnajit. He appreciates Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he received him very well and offered him wonderful prayers. And Krishna was pleased. He was so pleased he smiled. That's what we want. We want to do our service so nicely that Krishna become pleased and smiled upon us. We pray, oh my dear Lord, when would the day be when you smile upon me? You cast your smiling glance upon me. Just like Lord Brahma, in the beginning of creation when there was nothing, he was trying to search out the cause of his creation. He went down the lotus stem. And he went down and down and down, but he could not reach the end of it. He came back up. And then he heard the sound. And just like the Christians say, in the beginning there was a word. So in the beginning of creation there was a word. Pa-pa. And Lord Brahma, being very intelligent, he could understand austerity. Papa, perform austerity. He performed austerity for a long, long time. And at the maturity of that austerity, Krishna appeared before him, smiled upon him, and not even just smile, he also shake his hand. He said, my dear Lord Brahma, I'm very pleased by your austerity. And Krishna went about to empower him to create. He became empowered by Krishna to create. So here Krishna is very pleased with the King Natnajit, and he addressed the king and said, and that's interesting. Even though Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he appeared as a human being. So when he says something, he also quotes Shastra. That's the difference. Nowadays people always say, I think. People are so proud. I think it is this. I think it is that. In my opinion, it should be this way, that way. People are so proud of their thinking. People are so proud of their opinions. Sometimes when you talk to people, you don't acknowledge their opinions, and they just become upset. They become offended. Sometimes even in preaching, we have to be diplomatic. We cannot just go and say, nonsense, just forget about your nonsense opinions. Just listen. You can't even do that. You have to sit there and say, okay, you got a point there, but, we have to acknowledge what they're trying to say, then they say, okay, now you're listening to me, now I'm ready to listen to you. This is a problem. And sometimes people, they just sit in the cafe. What they do, they sit, their whole hobby is just sit there and argue different points, completely useless point. I know one devotee, he told me, we were in the same Sankirtan party together, he told me that was his pastime, his leela. When he's not working, he'll sit there in a bar or the cafe, and people will come and sit, and he will just argue different points with them. Maybe religion, spirituality, economy, politics, you name it, whatever topic, they will just argue back and forth and back and forth. And in this way, they spend their time. And nobody is willing to admit defeat. This is what people are like. Foolishness. So they are so proud of their opinions. But here Krishna is showing an example. He said, according to learned authorities, even Arjuna, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna wants him to fight, he said, I'm not going to fight. Because, and again he was quoting scriptures. He was quoting according to religious principles. And all these men become killed, then the women will be unprotected. And they will lead to Vanashankara, unwanted children, and the whole society will be ruined. And how can you ask me to kill my grandfather, my teacher, who is to be respected? Such personality has to be respected. You should not even raise a voice to such personality. What to say of slaying them? Would you kill your own teacher and grandfather Ugrasena? So he was very logical points he was bringing, but Krishna just smashes it. So here, Krishna is saying, because after all, as previously mentioned by King Narayana, he said, that after he protects the course of religion, because after all, the course of religion is given by him. Dharma to Shashat Bhagavat Pranitam. Religious principles basically means just following the order of God. Following the order of the Supreme. That's religion. It is not it's not something that someone just woke up one day and said, oh, I had a dream. I had a revelation from God. And he started a new religion. I had a vision, and then started a new religion. But Dhamman to Shasha Bhagavat Pranitam, religion is following the order of God. And therefore, he's also the protector of religious principles. And here he's showing the example. And according to learned authority, what did he say? He condemned begging for the person the royal order. In the Vanashram, Brahmacharya Vaishya Sudra, there are different rules and regulations that regulates different vana and ashram. And according to vana and ashram, it may be different duties involved. Different duties, different responsibilities. One rule applies to one ashram, it may not apply to another ashram. One rule applies to one vana, it may not apply to another. For example, the brahmana, they came back. The brahmana came back for their sustenance. A brahmana will not take occupation and work for others. In times of emergency, he may take up the position of the roles of the kshatriya or even vaishya, but never the sudra. But normally the brahmana, they maintain by themselves by begging, but from charity. They receive charity. In fact, the rules are, he give charity and accept charity. He study the scripture, and he teaches the scripture, and he perform worship, and teaches how to worship Krishna. These are the duties of the brahmanas. And the kshatriya is never beg from anyone. It's not the duty of the kshatriya to beg and to ask for charity. They are supposed to give charity. They do all the other, they study scripture, they teach scripture also, they teach worship. They give charity, but they are not meant to receive charity. But here he says, so according to Shastra, learned authorities, a person in the royal order who is executing his religious duty, is condemned if he begs. But even so, I'm desiring a friendship. Krishna is offering his friendship. I'm asking you for your daughter. Without offering of any gift in exchange. He doesn't want it to be like a mercantile exchange. I take something from you, I give you something. I'm just offering you my friendship. The same thing with what Krishna offered to Duryodhana and Arjuna. Just before the battle of Kurukshetra began, both of them went to see Krishna. Actually, Arjuna came first, and he sat by the lotus feet of Krishna, and Duryodhana was sitting next to the head of Krishna. And when Krishna woke up, he saw Arjuna first. And the agreement between Duryodhana and Arjuna was that whoever Krishna sees first will be he will have the option to be the first one to ask Krishna. And Krishna said, "What can I do for you?" And he knew what they want. He said, "I offer myself, but I will not fight. And one hand, and on the other hand, my army." So he asked Arjuna, "What do you want?" He said, "I just want your friendship. I don't care about the army. Although Krishna's army is very, very powerful. The Yadavas, very powerful army." He said, "I just want your friendship." And Duryodhana said, I get what I want. I got what I want. He wanted the army. He could not appreciate Krishna's friendship. So here is Krishna is offering his friendship to the king. Out of friendship, I want to offer my friendship to you. I want your daughter in. That's how they do also in previous time. Even nowadays, sometimes they do that. Sometimes to consolidate their kingdom. To consolidate the kingdom, the king will offer the daughter in marriage to another king or the prince. In this way, the two kingdoms become practically like united. Or sometimes the king, in order to protect his kingdom, will offer the daughter in marriage to a powerful king, or the son of a powerful king. In this way, they become protected. Sometimes in business family, they do that too. In businesses, the marriage of two families to consolidate their economical power. Sometimes they do that. It's common. And sometimes even between families, even though it may not be rich family or wealthy, but sometimes you hear this being spoken, you say, "Oh, now our family become intricately connected. We strengthen our family ties by this marriage. So this is what we want. So we want Krishna's friendship. That's what we want. We do not make any demands, but we want to act in a way that Krishna, that we are friends of, become friends of Krishna. We don't want Krishna as an enemy, that's for sure. We don't want Krishna as an enemy. Because where else can you find someone who is so merciful and compassionate? Where else can you find someone who is so magnanimous and compassionate? And where else do you find someone who is so powerful? You can't find anyone else in the whole creation as great and as wonderful as Krishna. So any intelligent person would want Krishna as a friend, not as an enemy. Only the foolish people whose mind has been contaminated by material sense gratification and attachment. They cannot see reality. They try to compete. They want to compete with Krishna. That Ishwaro ham maham bogi, Sida ham balavan suki. I'm the controller. I'm Ishwar. I'm perfect. I'm strong, balavan. I'm happy. I do not need anyone. Because I love this movie that the ITV, I did the subtitle to, one old Hindu movie, a Bollywood movie. Probably you've seen it. It's about this one guy, Anand. He works in a restaurant. And he has a Muslim friend. He will buy some, I don't know, some lottery or some quiz he has to answer, you know. And he always claimed that by my intelligence, I will become rich. You know that movie? By my intelligence, I'll become rich. And the Muslim friend always tell him, he said, oh, it's all up to Bhagavan, all up to the Allah. He said, no. What is God doing anyway? If God is there, why am I so poor? Why some are rich, some are poor? And one day, Krishna appeared to him in a dream. Not even in a dream, he appeared to him in the night. And he keeps saying, I don't need you. I'll become rich one day. And Krishna said, alright. And he actually won the lottery and became rich. And he started buying up the restaurant, and then he started expanding into hotel chains, and became a big man, you know, very rich man. And he has so many plans for his family. He has two sons and one daughter. So many plans for them. He said, my son, you go to, one son was helping him in the business, and I was saying, my son will go to USA, university in America. It was a very big thing. Go to university in America. And my daughter will marry into a big family. But everything fell apart. And one time, this Muslim friend came to the house, and the family used to enjoy the kheer, sweet rice from the wife. But when he came, the wife invited him, said, oh, please come and take some sweet rice. And the husband will come down. He said, oh, no, I got a meeting, I have no time. The son will come down and all have no time. Mm-hmm. And then this Muslim man said, said, before, when they were poor, at least they had time to sit down as a family and enjoy the kheer. And now they live in a big house and they have no time to enjoy it. So he went on like that, just denying. Krishna will appear before him each time. And of course he started getting sick. Krishna appeared to him one time, he argued. He said, you know, look at this newspaper. What are you doing for your devotee? Look at this, your devotee going on a pilgrimage on the bus and he plunged into the ravine and all got killed. What are you doing for your devotees? They're worshipping you. He said, I don't need to worship you and see you. I'm so okay. He said, are you okay? Oh, what are all these bottles on the table? He said, what? Kodi my sin. And then this is only my sin, all this so many. He always aimed at my sin. He said, Krishna also said, what did he say? Kodi my sin. And then it sits a point, I'm taking this medicine because of all my sin. So in this, Krishna was kind of believing. And in the end, he realized, because of my ahankara, my false ego, driving me, that I think I'm going to be a big man, I'm going to be this and that, and you know. He just left everything. Went up his wife on pilgrimage. So, well then, that's considered quite fortunate. That at least one come to the understanding. But most people, they live their life without coming to any understanding of the purpose of life. They live like an animal and they die like an animal without any understanding of the purpose of the human form of life. And that's very, very unfortunate. So Krishna, he's extending his hand, he's extending his friendship to everyone. He's equal to everyone. He's not been let's say, he's not biased to anyone. He's saying, Bhagavad Gita, I'm equal to everyone. But, yatamam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham. But as you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. I'm just reciprocating. Krishna is a perfect reciprocator. He reciprocates with the devotees. How you surrender to him, he reciprocates with you. You want to be his friend, Krishna will become a very good friend. The best of friends. But, you want to be his enemy, Krishna will kill you. I don't want. Hiranyakashipu wants to be the enemy of Krishna. Krishna came as Nrisingadev and killed him. Sudama Brahmana was a friend of Krishna. Krishna received him in his palace, put him on his best seat, wash his feet and take the water on the head. So how do you want it? Krishna is there. We cannot deny that. It's foolish to deny that. It's only a foolish person who deny that there's a God. Even this one pretty crazy lady. I hope she's not hearing this. Back in 1984, I was in Stockholm in Sweden. And there was this one punk, the queen of punk. The punk rock, you know. Her name was Nina Hagen. I don't know if anyone was a punk before. German, you know of her? She came to perform in the city, in an amusement park. So I think the manager contacted us. Some devotees have been cultivating her. So I went there and waited after the concert. And all these crazy fans were screaming outside, you know. And then finally we were brought into her room. I brought prasadam for her, and she really appreciated that. And there was one journalist. She asked one question and said, Nina, what is the most crazy things you have heard in the last few days? And she said, there is no God. And the journalist didn't quite get it. He said, what? He said, the most crazy things I've heard is that there's no God. And it was really amazing for me to hear that this lady, she was a little freaky lady, you know, punk, you know, kind of son. And she was been saying a lot of crazy things in that interview, but then that one sentence was really amazes me. That's the most crazy things I've ever heard, that there's no God. And it is. Any person who just use a little bit of his intelligence can understand. He must be a creator. So, Krishna is a fact of life, whether one accept it or do not accept it. But the choice is, how do we want to relate with him? Do you want him to be an enemy or a friend? And if he's a friend, how do we deal with a friend? How do we relate with a friend? We offer the best that we have. And if we consider someone a very, very good friend, we want to offer the best that we have to that person out of friendship. There's so many stories been written, so many movies been written, that people give up their life for their friends. They give up their kingdom, they give up their wealth for their friend. So, what are we willing to give up for our friend? What are we willing to do for our friend? Well, not even that. If Krishna were to ask, are we willing to give him what he is asking? And Krishna is asking. The whole Bhagavad Gita is there. He's asking. Just surrender unto me. Bow down to me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your obeisances unto me. And I'll take you back to me. At the end, I'll bring you back to me. So Krishna is offering the friendship to us. He's offering us his association. Come. He said, come to me. All we have to do is just reach out and come to Him. So, thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments?
Could you explain on this? You said that Krishna and Bhagavan Saksha. It was
Dhamman to Shasha Bhagavat Pranitam. Religious principles is following the order of God. I mean, in other words, religious principle can only come from Him. And whatever He says, that is religion. Religion cannot be man-made. Because religion means following the order of God, so it has to come from the Supreme. The Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad is the song of God. When we follow the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, we are following religion. Rupa Goswami said that any religion that does not follow the Vedas, the Puranas, the Upanishads, all the different scriptures, is only cause disturbances in society. And we see it. So many irreligion been distributed, propagated in the name of religion, and it creates so much havoc in society. Misinterpretation. People blow themselves up and killing the infidels or whatever. That's not religion. It has nothing to do with religion. Terrorism has nothing to do with religion. But in the name of religion. And also in the name of religion, so many wars have been fought. Perpetually. Since how many centuries the war between the Christians and the Muslims? Do you have the Crusades before? That's nothing to do with religion. It's just fulfilling the ego of someone, of the frustration of some people. They've been oppressed, and out of frustration, that's the only way they know how to fight back. But they call it religion. Now, on the other hand, Battle of Kurukshetra was different. It was a war that was sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to establish religion. That was different. So, although Arjuna was arguing his point that no, this is against religious principles, but the giver of religion is standing right in front of him, telling him. So religious principle may be such, but if Krishna is right in front of him telling you, say, don't do that, do this. You just do what Krishna said, that's religion. Even Prabhupada, he was very adamant. When he came to America, when he was teaching Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning, it was all about the war. I can't imagine talking about war in 1965, 66, right at the height of the Vietnam War, when all these hippies are protesting and demonstrating against the war in Vietnam. And Prabhupada is telling them, you have to fight. Because Krishna is telling Arjuna to fight. They are protesting. And Prabhupada said, why are you protesting? You elected your president. And now the president is sending you to war. You have to follow. You are the one who elected him. You chose him. So Prabhupada didn't back off from that point. It is a religious war. And fighting that war, according to Krishna's direction, is religion. It's falling religion. Simple as that. Yes, no. How?
How we have Ashra and Durashra.
Yeah.
And I read somewhere, it's a pretty nice way written, that under the influence of the false ego, we take shelter of anything else except for Krishna.
Yeah.
The money, the husband, wife, family,
yeah.
And that's why Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, abandon all the intention for gain and safety, because that's how the
yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So Durashraya, the fourth shelter, come in so many forms. It's not only come in the form of external things like taking shelter of the body, the mind, intelligence, the family, property, like physical things. They can also take shelter of so-called spirituality, taking shelter of so-called religiosity, so-called duties. I have so many duties to perform, I cannot surrender Krishna. Or they think, I'm already taking shelter, I'm already doing fine, I'm practicing religion, I'm a very spiritual person. The other day in Crossway, I saw someone reading a book, something like, I can't remember exactly the title. I heard about that book, how God, why God is bad for you or something. Something like that. A whole thick book, trying to convince people how God is bad for you. And it's a bestseller. How delusional people are. That's the unfortunate state of this world. And in Melbourne, 25% of people do not believe, consider themselves as atheists. You know what is the fastest growing religion in Melbourne? I told you that. Huh? No, Hinduism. It's fastest growing religion because of the influx of Indian students coming in. Oh, that's the how can we question. How do I become more sincere? Just by being sincere. Just by being sincere. Help others. When you are sincere, then you can influence others. You see, as a preacher, he wants to attract high quality people. You have to be of high quality yourself. You get that?
Yeah.
But how do you get that?
Sorry?
But how do you get become high quality?
How will you become high quality?
Yeah, high quality, yeah. Just follow the instruction. Practice Krishna conscious sincerely. Become a good devotee, then you attract other good people.
What can you do when we see that other devotees have the desire to get off?
Have to?
What can you do when we see that other devotees might have the desire to get off from Krishna consciousness?
Show compassion, try to preach to them, try to give them an association. Give a whole lecture on how you can do that. But the most important thing is that you have to have compassion and you have to have knowledge. You have to know what you're doing. And compassion. Sometimes that compassion may come in the form of being very nice to that person. Or that compassion can come in the form of a club, a big smack on the head, and give it to him. That we are very quick at. Just give it to him. Give him the sauce. Sometimes it's necessary, and sometimes it may be necessary, but we may not be the right person to do that. So, but if we develop this compassionate attitude and really equip ourselves with good knowledge, and Krishna will guide us. I done that one time. I was the Sankirtan leader. We have our one Sankirtan devotee. He was a driver. And sometimes you drive in Sweden, it's such a big country with so small population. You can drive for kilometers after kilometers, and there's no no, not one a house in sight. So sometimes go from one town to another, there's a lot of driving involved. So he has less time to read, although you can listen to lectures, but we get drop off, we have more time to read, he has less. So at some time, but I have a very strict policy that before 9 o'clock, everyone has to be out on the street. The first one get dropped off at 8 o'clock, and 9 o'clock is on the street, and all the rounds, everything done before that. We used to get up 2 o'clock in the morning, do our rounds, read, and then. So one time we got dropped off. We were in the same, going to be in the same town, and it was mentor. He got mentor, and he said, "Oh, you know, I'm going to read. I have this and that." And being a young brahmacharya at that time, I was not very, how to say, refined. So I just gave him the sauce. I just, get out of this mentor platform and just go out. I just pounded him for 15, 20 minutes. He said, "Oh, I feel like crying." I said, "Fuck, come on, you're a grown up. You're not going to cry. Just pick up your book and just go out and distribute the mercy." And then he did that, and it was one of his best days. And then a little while later, he came up to me and said, "Prabhu, can you give me another of those lectures?" I said, "I can't. I just at the spur of the moment I did that. Now you ask me, I just can't do it like that." So sometimes it's necessary, you know, but it's not always recommended to be so heavy like that. Like sometimes it can be heavy, but not in a. No, it depends on our purity. When we cut, how sharp is our knife? If our knife is blunt, it hurts a lot. But if it's sharp, it just slices right through. So the pure devotees, they are very expert at that. As a spiritual master dealing with the disciple, he knows how to like slice right through the anathas. He has these special tongs or whatever. He go right into the crevices of our heart and just drag it out. And we feel the sharp pain, and then after that it's relief. You just pull it out and then there's some pain. It's relief. So, but it's all based on compassion, feeling what does the person need at this moment. It's not all about me, it's about that person. Trying to understand that person, where he's situated at this point in time, and what does he need to go to the next level, or what does he need to get out of his present predicament. You have to be like a psychologist. Preaching involves a lot of psychology. Your Guru Maharaj is very expert at that. Okay, thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.